Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 41 of Coach Bennett's Podcast. And right now, I'm racking my brains trying to come up with something witty or even just remotely interesting to say about the number 41. And I got nothing. I can't think of an athlete that wore the number 41. I think Steven Spielberg made a movie called 1941, or was it 1942? That was a bomb. Didn't do well. I never saw it, so I'm not going to make a judgment on it. I just know that it's widely panned as one of his worst. I think John Belushi was in it. So I got nothing. Other than it's one more than 40, and 40 was a really good episode. So thanks everyone for listening to last week's episode where I went through some of the top questions that I get. And this week is being hurt or on being hurt. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to title this one, but it's been inspired by so many of you over the years reaching out and asking all sorts of questions about what to do when you're hurt, how to handle getting hurt, not just physically, because this one today is not about the physical side, really, of being hurt. It's really me telling you about when I had my first real injury when I was a runner and what I went through and how I learned so much from that experience and still to this day am learning from that experience. And that experience, by the way, was when I was in high school. So we're talking a long, long, long time ago. So let me paint you a picture. It's the fall of 19, don't worry about it, and I am a junior in high school. I'm 16 years old, and I had just come off an outdoor track season where I really became a varsity athlete. I actually had experienced success in the sport and had felt that, you know, maybe I could do something in this sport. I had run very, very well at the local level in New Jersey and then at the state level in New Jersey. And heading into the summer, I was picked to be one of the top returners in the state for cross country. Really, all I had to do was just run over the summer, and I didn't. This was my lazy period, as I like to call it, which lasted for quite some time, a few decades actually, and I was dead smack right in the middle of my lazy period. So if we weren't having practice, I wasn't running. I just wasn't doing it. And during the summer, the team met 3 times a week, 4 days a week, I didn't run. And I missed a couple practices too, so I just was not training. And I was one of those kids that really needed practice. I needed to be around the team as much as possible. I needed to be around coach much as possible because I, like I said, I was lazy. I wasn't going to do the work. I needed someone to motivate me because I didn't have the capability, the strength, the discipline to motivate myself, to get myself to go run on my own. And it's one of those things, looking back on it, do I have regrets about that? Absolutely. I absolutely do. I wish I had the motivation and the discipline that some of my teammates had to go out and run on their own. I was so lazy, even though I knew it was beneficial to me, even though I knew it would lead to success, and really, it would lead to me having more fun in the sport. I still didn't do it. I just didn't do it. That's how lazy I was. It's hard for me to just really wrap my head around it now, how lazy I was. So that summer, I spent not running. And on top of that, I had a bike. And it seems like, okay, well, at least the kid's biking. Well, the bike got stolen really early in the summer. I think I had it for maybe a week, 10 days, and I didn't lock it, and it got stolen. Like, no joke, like a week to 10 days. And I remember I came home and I'm like, Mom, my bike got stolen. She was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, What do you mean? My bike got stolen. I put it somewhere and then it got stolen. She said they cut the lock. And I think, looking back on it, my mom's a very smart lady. I think she knew I obviously had not locked it. There were not people going around with, you know, chain cutters at the beach to steal a kid's bike. So she knew I was just, I mean, fittingly, too lazy to lock my bike. And somebody stole my bike. Somebody took my bike. I said, no, I didn't lock it. You didn't lock it. So I got in trouble. And there was a small part of me that thought, you know what? I think I'm going to get a new bike. I mean, it's so sad. I'm 16. I need a bike to get around. I thought she's going to let me get another bike. So I had a small hope, glimmer of hope that maybe she would say, oh, all right, we'll get you a new bike tomorrow or in a couple of days. And she just said, well, that's too bad. You're not getting a new one. I was like, well, how am I going to get around? She said, there's a skateboard in the closet. And I was like, there's a skateboard in the closet? What are you talking about? Like, that's, skateboard's been in the closet for like 5 years. Well, I learned how to skateboard that summer. I'll just tell you that. So my primary exercise during the summer was skateboarding. I skateboarded everywhere, miles and miles and miles a day, which is great. It got me from A to B to C to D. It got me all over the place. I learned how to skateboard, at least, you know, not doing tricks, just, you know, learning how to fly down a road and kind of sort of stop. Skateboarding's a little bit funky when it comes to stopping. That's not as easy as you think. You know, you think of running, like it's really hard to learn how to run and continue to run. Stopping a run, everybody can do that. Skateboarding's different. It's way easier to learn how to get going on a skateboard, really hard to learn how to stop, at least safely on a skateboard. Maybe I'll have another episode on my skating skills. So anyway, the point is my primary activity all summer was skateboarding. So the way I skate, I have my left leg on the skateboard and I drive with my right leg. And that's what I did all summer long. And I wore, you know, cheap shoes or no shoes at all. So I would skateboard sometimes with just no shoes. I lived near the beach, so that's what I did. And that was, I think, how I was able to fake at practice some semblance of fitness, because I was getting away with it at practice. I was able to stay up even though it was a struggle. Now I was supposed to be really good and I was faking it because I wasn't doing the work. And I knew I would get in trouble if I looked like I was suffering out there. So on practice, it was some serious mental and mindful focus to get through these runs because I just was physically incapable of doing them. I had to summon the reservoir of strength inside to get through them. Now, what I should have done was, like I said, been training on my own, but I wasn't doing that. I was just skateboarding and going to practice a couple days a week. That was it. So sure enough, the season starts and now I'm at practice, you know, every day because school has started and I'm actually now starting to get fitter and it's happening fairly quickly, which tends to happen in running. If you're running kind of haphazardly and frequently, inconsistently, and then you string together a couple of weeks of consistent running, you can see some pretty big jumps and that's what I was getting at. Suddenly, I was getting these fitness jumps, and I was going, okay, let's see what happens here. And at the first cross-country meet of the year in northern New Jersey, I was the top jersey finisher. And as a result, I got invited to run the Fifth Avenue Mile. I believe it was the following weekend, which is a really big deal. The Fifth Avenue Mile, if you've never heard of it, is literally a road mile down Fifth Avenue in New York City. Police cars lead you down the road. It's all blocked off. There's fans on the side. It started in the early 80s as an elite race, and they brought in the top runners in the world, and they got to run down Fifth Avenue. Massive crowds showed up, and by the time I was doing it in 1990, don't worry about it, The elite side had kind of diminished quite a bit, but the high school mile was still a really big honor to be a part of. And I got to do that. And I was super excited to get to do it. I really, really was honored that I got to do it. Was I in shape to do it? Oh, absolutely not. I wasn't even in shape to run cross country, much less do a mile, which involves some speed and some strength. I had neither. I was still faking it. I also didn't know really what to wear for a road mile, so I wore my cross-country spikes. Maybe I can put up a picture somewhere of what my cross-country spikes looked like. The point is they had a minimal amount of cushioning, okay? Because they're not there for the cushioning. Back then in 1990, don't worry about it. They were there to basically just hold the spikes and be as lightweight as possible so you could run shorter distances on a track, on that kind of a surface. And I wasn't wearing them on a rubberized track. I was wearing them on Fifth Avenue, the asphalt, the concrete, the hard road of Fifth Avenue. And obviously, I took the spikes out. So I was basically wearing glorified slippers, which is not what you want to do when you're running something as violent as the mile. And by violent, I mean it's just super intense, takes a lot of speed. So you're really coming down pretty hard and pushing off with a lot of force when you're racing a mile. So sure enough, I do the Fifth Avenue mile. I have a blast. I don't run very well. I don't think anyone was shocked at how mediocre I ran, but I had a really, really great time. This was on a Saturday. Sunday, I'm not sure if we had practice or not, but Monday at practice at school, I got about 3/4 of the way through the run and I noticed, you know, my foot is really starting to hurt right in the middle of my foot on the instep. It's just starting to hurt. Now, I've been pretty lucky up to this point where I haven't been hurt and I haven't been injured and I haven't had to miss any time. And I haven't had very sharp pains anywhere. And suddenly I'm doing this run and I'm thinking, I've never experienced pain like this before. So I have to stop the run, which is something I never did. No matter how much fitness I lacked or how tough the run got, I never stopped a run. I always saw it through to the end. And this one I actually had to stop and I had to start walking. And my coach looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, my foot hurts. And he got worried because he knows I don't complain. So he was definitely worried. Where does it hurt? Is it a sharp pain? Is it a dull pain? I said, it's a sharp pain. And we went to the trainer at the time. Now, back then, this is a long time ago, trainers were not equipped to deal with many things that they are now. It's a much, much, much more elevated position than it was. There's way more that they have to know how to deal with, handle. Their expertise is far greater. And I'm speaking in generalities here because I know that I'm sure there were some maybe sports trainers at high schools back when I was in high school that were excellent. But on the average, they would be considered average now. The quality is so much greater. So I'm not faulting the trainer. The trainer basically said, "All right, something's bothering you. It's your ligaments or something like that. We'll tape it up." And that was kind of the answer. We're going to tape it up. And my foot got taped. And the next day I went and ran and it hurt. And the next day I went out, it was taped up again and it hurt. And then I had to, take 2 days off. And this went on for about 2 weeks. Which means I had to miss that next race, which was a bummer because I was now excited and I was committed and I was starting to, I feel like, turn a little bit as an athlete in the sport where suddenly I was like, this is important to me. And I think maybe some of those regrets I had about not committing and not training, I think maybe this is going to be different. Because there's an obligation and a responsibility to the team that I suddenly started to feel. I was now a junior, not a sophomore, so I was an upperclassman. And I had to miss this race, and that hurt, and I think that was a good sign. But the following week, taping my foot, nothing was getting better. So finally, we went to an orthopedist, and that was recommended by somebody. They said, "I think it's probably, ligaments." Okay, well, I don't need to belabor this point, but it wasn't ligaments. And then a few weeks later, you know, running some days, not running others days, getting flustered, getting down, getting really, really sad about this. Well, maybe it's your tendons. Okay, well, it wasn't that. We're now weeks later. And on top of that, I then wake up with my neck very swollen, and we'll fast forward through that. I got mono. So not only do I now have an injured foot, I have mono, which is not good. So I was more or less bedridden for about 10, 12 straight days. I missed about 2 weeks of school. You have to be very careful coming back from mono. You're in a weakened state. It's very easy to relapse. Really just general exhaustion when you have mono. So when I finally felt like I could start running again, I had missed a significant chunk of time. And I thought, okay, there's no way my foot's going to hurt. There's just no possible way. I mean, I've missed weeks and weeks and weeks, and I went out for a run. We're now looking at probably late October at this point, very late October. And I remember going for a run in the first 10 minutes. I don't think I felt it. And then it came on, and it came on, and it was terrible. And it hurt really, really bad. And I remember being on the run and stopping, and I was alone. And just being so angry, you know, like that my foot had sold me out, you know, had let me down, had sabotaged what I was trying to do. So I told the coach, I said, it just hurts really bad. I couldn't do the run. He said, okay, get on the bus. And I got home. And I remember I had something. I remember even what it was called. It had this very funky smell. Not in a bad way. It was actually kind of neat. It was called mineral ice, which was similar to like a Bengay or something like that. Like, so you got to remember, this is a different time. And one of the things that I was doing was I was rubbing mineral ice on the arch of my foot and kind of the instep of my foot a couple times a day, thinking, oh, this is going to help. And I remember I was putting it on my foot, and I just ended up throwing the container against the wall. And I remember, because the container broke, and it was like this light blue substance, and it just shattered, and this blue stuff that smelled like classier Bengay went all over the walls. And I was just in my room, and I just kind of broke down. I was so tired of being frustrated. I was so tired of being angry. I was so tired of being in pain. I was so tired of just being tired, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And we had the big meets coming up, the state championships, and the team was in the hunt to win a state championship. And I think some teammates were still holding out hope that I was going to potentially get to run, and I was holding out hope that I was going to get to run, and it just all fell apart. And eventually in December, we're now in December, I went and I saw a doctor in sports medicine, and very quickly he said it can only be a couple of things. He named one or two things, and then he said, or it could be a stress fracture. So let's go check this out. And sure enough, you know, the film that came back had hot spots all over my foot. He says, you've got a stress fracture in one place, and you've got some stress reactions in another place. You can't run. And I'll tell you what, there was relief in someone finally telling me I couldn't run. I was so done with people telling me, let's tape it up, let's put mineral ice it, let's not run for 2 days and then try again. You know, let's just run on grass. Let's just run on track. Let's just run on treadmill. I couldn't do it anymore. And when he told me I couldn't run anymore, I thought, okay. And he said, so I'm going to put you on crutches and stay off your feet. Stay off your foot for a month. I think it was 4 weeks or 5 weeks. He said, I want you to stay off your foot. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to be able to stay off my foot. I'm 16. Like, and I'm really proud of myself for doing this in the doctor's office, because he had said, this is what we're going to do. And I told him, I know myself. And I think these last few months had taught myself to just be honest, brutally honest with myself. And I said, if you just give me crutches, I'm going to run around. I'm going to be 16. I'm going to be hanging out with friends. I'm going to abuse the privilege of not having a cast on. and you need to put a plaster cast on my leg. And he did. So I had a plaster cast for, I think, 4.5 weeks and crutches from the middle of December through late January. And I eventually got the cast off, and I still remember my first run back. I believe it was February 4th. And I've actually put a post up about this, about that run, about it being the most important run that I can remember, because it was my first run in months where I wasn't in pain. It was a run I finished where I had real hope. It was a run that I did where I was in horrendous shape, and it had nothing to do about fitness. It had nothing to do about running a fast mile or 3K or cross country. It was just truly loving the fact that I was running and I was moving and I was powering myself and I was not in pain. And my mom took a picture of me running, going down the front yard. And it was the only time she ever took a picture of me going for a run. She had taken pictures of me racing, but never just going for a run. This entire September to February debacle really shaped my view of injuries and sickness as an athlete, as well as a coach. And I'm going to go through now and thank you for sitting through or walking through or running through the story of the injury. But I think it's important to know, one, I was just a kid. Two, I was just starting to fall in love with the sport. Three, I was on a team. Four, it went on and on and on. It was setback and hurdle and barrier and stumble and fall over and over again for months and months. And I just didn't know what was wrong with me. And in the middle of this, I got mono, you know? So anyway, so it shaped me. It shaped me as an athlete. It shaped me as a coach. And it shaped the way I look at injuries, sickness, healing, and recovery. So I'm going to go through a couple of things now, and I'm hoping it helps you. And you've heard me say this before, I don't think you need to experience something to learn from it, because you can learn from other people's experiences. And I'm hoping that my experience can help you if you go through an injury or sickness. So when I look back at that injury, when I look back at those months, I think of all the things that I didn't do right. I think about the things that I should have done. And I'm going to go through a few of them. Once there was the realization that this was not something that was just going to heal itself, it's not getting better on its own, I should have gone to an expert. I should have asked to have gone to an expert. I will give myself the grace that it was a different time. The idea of going to a sports medicine doctor was just incredibly rare. You would just think like maybe Michael Jordan or Mia Hamm went to people like that. I don't. I'm a 16-year-old kid running cross country. Get over yourself. But I'll tell you what, now we are so lucky to have so many great physical therapists, sports medicine doctors, experts in their fields. If it's something you can't heal on your own, if it's something you can't recover from on your own, then you need to go and find experts that will help you recover, that will help you heal. So that was something that has always stuck with me. Yes, if an athlete of mine or myself as an athlete am dealing with something that's going from bothering me to suddenly, potentially, maybe being an injury, and the little things that normally would help alleviate are not doing that, well, then we are going to elevate this to an expert. Another thing was I was a very passive participant in all of this. And what I mean by that was I was hurt and I just then allowed myself to be hurt. I wasn't actively trying to heal myself. I wasn't actively trying to recover. I wasn't searching out and looking for things I could be doing. Now, granted, it was a stress fracture. Okay, I'm not going to be actively healing that beyond staying off it and doing all the things to give it the best possible situation and environment to heal. But my point is, I also wasn't going out and saying, all right, what can I do that is not hurting my foot? Could I get on a bike? Potentially. I never tried. Isn't that shocking? Could I be in a pool? Maybe do some non-weight-bearing exercises to try to maintain fitness, to develop strength, to be engaged while I'm staying off my foot, while I'm trying to figure this out. Instead, I just hung back and I let people say, well, it might be a ligament, it might be a tendon, it might be bone, we don't think so, we're going to give it some time. I just didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And that really did not help the process. I'm not saying me being more active was going to speed up the healing of the bone, of the stress fracture, but it would have helped me emotionally heal. It would have made me better equipped to deal with the situation if I wasn't so passive. So it's another thing that I remembered of, I have to maintain activity in a lot of different ways. We'll get a little bit to that in a minute. I also stopped going to practice. On the days where I knew I couldn't run, I just didn't go to practice. I thought, what's the point? Why would I go there and watch my teammates run? So I went home. And that was a massive mistake because that's when I needed them the most. When I went home, I didn't do anything. And I was away from my friends. I was away from my teammates. I was away from the sport. And that's when I needed to be most active with all of them, when things weren't going right, when I was at my most vulnerable emotionally, mentally, I needed to be with them. When I was at my weakest physically, I needed to be around them, if for no other reason than to be supporting them and feeling like I'm helping the team in some way. But I'm also going to get a bounce back. I'm going to get them asking about me, telling me it's going to be okay, telling me they believe in me, telling me that when I come back, I'm going to be better than ever. These are the things that your friends and your teammates say to you that you often don't say to yourself. I needed to be at practice, and I wasn't. I spent way more days, I would say, from the middle of September to the middle of February, where I probably started going back to practice again. I mean, if you think about that, that's what, 6 months? 5 months? Somewhere in there? 5-6 months? I spent 80% of that time away from practice. And it should have been flipped. It should have been 80% of that time at practice, engaged with my team, a part of my team and not apart from my team. And that's something, as an athlete, later on when I got hurt, I made sure I kept coming to practice. But as a coach, I made sure a kid who was coming back from something came back with us, was alongside us, never left us. We never left them. That was something I strongly took. That is something that has stayed with me. And I always tell people, if you're going through an injury, okay, heal and recover around your friends, around your family, and around your teammates. Don't heal alone. It will take longer to heal. And we're not just talking about repairing bones here. Now, I kind of hinted at it earlier, spoke about it just very briefly, about how I wasn't trying to see if I could do any kind of training because I had this mentality that if I couldn't run, then it's not worth it. If I couldn't go for a run, what's the point? If I can't go out and run, why bike? If I can't go out and run, why swim? Some of that was laziness for sure. And some of it was weakness. I guess laziness is a form of weakness because it's not easy to sit on a bike and just bike. It's not easy to go in a pool and just swim laps or run in a pool. I mean, other athletes think running is boring. Oh my goodness. Just swimming laps? Oh, brutal. Especially if you're not a great swimmer or a good swimmer or a mediocre swimmer. I'm a sub-mediocre swimmer. It's brutal. Sitting on a bike. I'm not talking about outside going through the Alps or the Pyrenees. I'm talking about sitting on a stationary bike in a high school weight room that looks like they stole the lighting from the worst, most sterile library on Earth. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, where, you know, there's another teacher there that's got talk radio on, and you're like, come on, you got to be kidding me. So it's not easy to cross-train. It's not easy to continue to do work. So I think one thing that I did as a coach with athletes was I made sure I gave them workouts and I was with them and I tried to make them engaging, exciting, fun, and difficult. Because if it's not, you are going to question, why am I doing this? I'm not getting any benefit. And by benefit, sometimes it's I want to be challenged. And especially for an injured athlete, if they can cross train, because not all injured athletes can, but if they can, being challenged in some way gives excitement and purpose. And remember, it can be different things. It can be strength training. It could be working on an elliptical. It could be walking. It could be hiking. There are lots of different ways to tax your body, to stress your body in a positive way, in a healthy way, when you can't run. I just knew that by saying it's all or nothing, I couldn't have the all, which meant I was not even giving myself that option. I was just saying you get nothing. And that set me back a lot. It set me back, not just from a physical fitness aspect. You got to remember, when you're working out, when you're training, you're also callousing yourself mentally and mindfully. And by saying, I'm not going to do anything, I got soft. I did. Mentally soft. It was hard for me to push myself when I came back because I hadn't pushed myself in so long. I had chosen not to. So that was something else. I just stopped doing anything because I had convinced myself if I couldn't run, it didn't matter, which is foolish. It all matters. Another thing, which I hope you find interesting, because I do, and I would tell athletes this too when they got injured, I want you to also take advantage of the fact that you're not running. It takes time to run. It's a commitment, you know, and if you're running 3 days a week, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, that's a big commitment. It's a lot of time. If you can't run, there is now some free space and we can fill that up with things. And I'm not talking about filling it up with more work, more exercise. I'm talking about filling it up with things that you can't normally do when you have such a high commitment to running when you're healthy. So I'll give you an example. I had practice every day when I was healthy. Since I didn't have practice every day, I should have been going more. I wasn't, but I was just going home. You know what I should have been doing? I should have been going to soccer games. I should have been going to some of the school plays. I should have gone to some more movies. Those are some of the things that I didn't have the opportunity to do when I was running consistently when I was healthy. And it's the same thing when I would tell adult athletes. I'd say, okay, you normally have this time that you're filling up with being able to run. Okay, what else gives you pleasure that you normally don't get to do when you're running? Like, what else do you enjoy to do? What else challenges you or makes you happy? And for some people, it is. I like seeing new movies, but I don't like to go because I can't go until it's too late. And then I've got to run in the morning. Well, you're not running on Saturday morning. You're not doing the long run. So go to a late movie. Sleep in a little bit. Take advantage of that. Maybe you can't run, but you can do a different sport. Like I said, you can do hikes. Great. You're probably not going to go on some exploratory hikes when you're in the depths of marathon training or half marathon training because you're trying to, you know, stay healthy, not overdo it. But if you're not able to run, then go do that fun hike that you've wanted to do, especially if you can do it and be recovering and getting healthier. Like, now's your opportunity, because in a couple of weeks, hopefully, you're going to be completely healthy. You're going to be running and you're going to be like, well, I'm going to go for a run. I don't want to run and do the hike. I think that's going to be too much. Well, right now, choose the hike. Go for the hike. Have some fun. Mix things up. Take advantage of the fact that since you're hurt, and it's weird for people to go there because they're like, take advantage of the fact that I'm hurt. Yeah, take advantage of the fact that you're hurt, that now you've got free time to do some other things. I'd practice every day after school, more or less, for 4 years in high school. I went straight from last period class to practice. I did cross country, indoor, and outdoor track. the seasons bled into each other. There's very little downtime in between. What I should have been doing was saying, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that basketball game after practice that I never get to go to. I'm going to go to the school play on a Friday night that I know gets out at 11 and I can go to it even though the team is traveling. So they're leaving on Friday afternoon. None of them get to do it. I should have taken advantage of those things. I think it's a great way to incorporate some positivity into what is a tough situation. Being hurt is not fun. Being injured is not fun. But if you can incorporate some positivity in there to say, okay, I'm not happy I'm hurt, but I am going to be grateful for the opportunity that I have now to go do a few things that normally maybe wouldn't present themselves. So sure, it's a little mental gymnastics, mindful gymnastics, but guess what? It works. And the last thing that I think is I didn't talk to anyone. And oddly enough, I remember a lot from this period. I remember more from this period of being hurt than I do from what came next and being healthy. I remember more days of being in my room alone and being sad and down and hurting than I do months later coming back from a good practice and being happy. And I think maybe I remember more from this hard, tough time because it was something inside saying, you need to remember this. This is going to be beneficial. You're going to learn from this and you can take advantage of this. And I'm not saying, oh, everything happens for a reason. What I'm saying is things happen and you can derive purpose from it, learnings from it. You can take advantage from it. And for me, being hurt, I think it was important to remember all those days, it was important to remember all those hours spent alone, being frustrated, confused, sad, feeling alone while I was hurting. Because later on, I made sure not to spend that time alone. I made sure to reach out to people. I made sure when I was an athlete and a teammate was going through some sickness or some injuries to reach out to them. Because I knew they're going to be alone, but I wanted them to not feel alone when they were by themselves. I wanted them to know they had a teammate around. As a coach, I wanted to make sure the athlete always knew they existed to me. They did not disappear just because they were hurt and couldn't race, or they were sick and they couldn't score points. No, they were there always, regardless of how healthy they were. It didn't matter. They mattered. That's what I wanted them to realize. And I wanted to give them the opportunity to talk about it, to rage about it, to complain about it, to cry about it, because that needed to happen. It was going to happen no matter what. I didn't want it to happen in some dark corner. I wanted them to feel like they had the freedom to do it right there in front of me if they needed to, if they wanted to. And I wanted to share with them that the reason why I felt that way was because I went through what I did. And like I said at the beginning, they don't need to experience what I experienced alone in my room, throwing mineral ice against the wall, raging about being hurt and in pain. They could experience it through me and then do it a better way. Process the emotions, deal with the emotions, feel the emotions a better way than I did. So that this is the first time I think I've used the podcast as a way to explain why I navigate through certain things the way I do, by giving you kind of the background of something maybe that I experienced or went through. But I thought this was kind of an important one to go through about being hurt and why when I tell people like, hey, if this is something that is not taking care of itself, see an expert. Be an active participant in the recovery and the healing, both of them. And respect that recovery and that healing, because both of those things take work. They take effort. It is not something that is passively occurring. It is an activity your body is doing to heal, to recover. Respect it, support it, and be a part of it. Stay involved with the sport and your teammates. Don't be apart from it. Be a part of your team. And your team will be a part of your life. And this is when you need them. And if you flip it, a lot of times all you have to do is say, imagine it's a teammate that's hurt and not you. Imagine it's a teammate that's sick and not you. What do you think they need? How can you help them? And when you flip it and you take it off yourself, you suddenly realize like, oh, you're right. I should be around the team. Because if there's something that's best for a teammate, it probably means it would also be best for me. So stay involved with the sport and your teammates. Cross starting lines. Keep crossing starting lines. Sure, it may not be a starting line that leads to a run, but it could be a starting line that leads to a bike or a hike or a swim or strength training. It could be elliptical. It could be visualization. It could be meditation. It could be you crossing a starting line of learning more about the sport from a coaching perspective because you're coming to practice and now you're learning about the background behind the scenes of why you are doing some of the things that you're doing. So when you do heal, when you do recover, you're now a better coach. You understand why you're doing what you're doing. You can improve as a runner when you're not running, which is good news because the overwhelming majority of your time, your existence, is spent not running. So if you want to get better at running, it's not only going to be between a start and finish line of a run. It's between the start and the finish line of a day is when you can get better at running. That's pretty awesome. And it's never maybe more important than when you're hurt or injured and wondering, am I going backwards? Okay, just because you're losing some physical fitness, it doesn't mean you're going backwards. You could come out the other side a better athlete because you're able to do other things, like I said, like strength training, cross training. Maybe you're a smarter runner as a result of this time off because of spending time with the coach, or maybe you're a bigger fan of the sport because you suddenly were on the sidelines as opposed to a starting line and you're able to see it from a different point of view. So there's a lot of things that you can do while you're not running. So keep crossing starting lines. Do things that you couldn't do while you were running. Take advantage of suddenly those holes in your schedule that used to be filled up with run, practice, workout, race. Okay, what were you not able to do because those things had filled up your schedule? All right, go to that show, go to that movie, go to that basketball game. So do those things that you had a hard time doing because of running. And then talk. Write, share, okay? You've got a lot of stuff on the inside that needs to come out, whether it's a journal, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text message, or it's sitting down with a coach, family, friend, therapist. Talk, write, share. It will only help you recover and heal at the best possible pace. And I'm not saying that you can speed up recovery and healing. What I'm saying is you can slow it down. So don't slow it down. Don't be in the way. Help yourself heal. Help yourself recover. So I think you can tell this was an important episode for me to talk about. And I know it's important for so many of you to talk about being hurt and the mindset of being hurt and some of the actions you can take or the actions you shouldn't take and how to navigate through the process, because you reach out and you tell me you're battling a sickness, you've been battling a sickness, you're injured and it's at the worst possible time because you were having your best possible time running. I get it and I understand. And keep reaching out and keep talking about it. And keep telling me about it and keep sharing it with your teammates and your family and your friends, because being hurt, being injured can be a really lonely time. It doesn't need to be though. Your teammates, your family, your friends, find the people in your life that you want to help when they're in the position that you're in. And they're probably the people that want to help you when you're in this position. Okay? So thank you for listening. That's the show. That is the show, episode 41. Thank you so much for subscribing and rating and reviewing and sharing it. And if you have people in your life that are going through an injury, going through some sickness, coming back from one, share the episode with them. Seriously, share the episode with them and let them know, hey, listen, you're not alone in this. And hopefully they'll be back going for a run as soon as they can. Until then, let's just make sure we're there for each other, okay? All right, well, thank you. And until next time, episode 42, I've got an athlete in my head for number 42. For episode 42, I will be meeting you on that next starting line in just about a week, because it's every week, right, everybody? All right, so until then, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would, because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes, because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter, as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter. Whatever that dumpster fire is called today, you'll find a link to it, because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.